So we're going to do Parsha today. I'm dipping way into the archives for this one. Normally, I don't know if you realize what I do when I do the Parsha Shir, is I take like a drasha from the last year, or sometimes 2 years ago. So this one is from 21 years ago, Tavshin Samach Beis, before any of you were born, and I gave it a Shari Tefillah. But anyway, here's the idea. When you think about the value of every single letter and every single word of the Torah, we're certainly taught from a young age that there is tremendous value in it. That the Torah not only is a sefer that teaches us how to behave and how to live, but that you can study every single word, every single letter of the Torah, and you find that it has this amazing impact on a person. It's restorative of a person. Meshivas nafesh, it's described as. The Torah is nechmad mizav mipaz rav umasuk. It's just that sometimes it's easier to see that, and sometimes it's harder to see that. Meaning, sometimes you see what's so sweet about the Torah, what's so beautiful about the Torah, and other times it seems that there are, at first glance, that there are psukim that are insignificant, that aren't really adding that much. So based on that, you look at the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, and it has this list of 42 stages of wandering around in the Midbar. And that section in the Torah, might be an interesting area of study, I don't know, for an archaeologist or someone who's interested in geography and looking into a historian, looking into the identity of each of those places. But like, where is the Meshivas Nafesh in that? Where is the, Nechmad Mizav Umipazrav? Where is the element of that is a valuable lesson for us, or that's something that's critical to us, and the Torah, as if to warn us not to take it lightly, the Torah prefaces this with Vayichtav Moshe es Motzeihem l'maseihem al pi Hashem. That Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this al pi Hashem, and most of the Mefarshim, including the Ramban, understand, you could read, it's all a matter of where you put the comma. You got to check the Trup and the Targum Unculus and see if they're consistent on this and how they punctuate this pasuk. You could understand the pasuk of Vayichtav Moshe. Their comings and goings, that was all al pi Hashem, meaning that the comings and goings were al pi Hashem. But the way the Ramban and many of the other Mefarshim understand is that no, the ksiva was al pi Hashem. V'yichtav Moshe es Moshe v'maseihem, kama al pi Hashem. The Moshe Rabbeinu was writing al pi Hashem, that all the comings and goings had to be recorded in the Torah, and that was al pi Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted an accurate record of our travels in the Midbar to be recorded in the Torah itself. So obviously, there's a powerful lesson to be learned over here, and the Mefarshim work very hard to figure out what that lesson might be. So I would like to focus on two lessons suggested by two of the Rishonim, and try to apply that to our lives, and particularly to this time of the year. First is Rashi, right? Everything always starts with Rashi. So Rashi quotes a mashal from Rabbi Tanchuma, and he says, "Mashal lemelech sheyibno cholav alich lemakom rachok l'raposo," that there was a melech who had a son who was ill, and the melech had to bring him to a great distance away in order to for the child to receive his treatments, to have a refuah. Kivan Shayuchosun, when they returned from that journey, his chilaviv mona kolamasaos. The father started to go through all the places that they stopped along the way. And he recalled, oh, this is where you fell asleep, and this is where you were cold, and this is where you were hot, and this is where you had a headache, and he started going through all the difficulties, all the challenges, all of the setbacks, so to speak, on the way to finding a cure. In other words, what the chapter serves to do is to remind us that there's a lot of suffering that's inherent in achieving a major goal. That if you're going to get anywhere, there's going to be struggle along the way. And once that goal is achieved, you can look back fondly at those difficult times. You hear about people who struggled a lot and then ultimately made it financially, and they describe, like with fondness, the times where they were eating a granola bar for dinner or something, or where they couldn't make that month's rent or something like that. And they recall those times, because those struggles, they realize, now when they're in those struggles, it's very hard to look at it with any sense of fondness, but afterwards they look back and they realize that those struggles are what made them, that's what built them. Anybody who's ever worked hard to achieve anything knows that the achievement would not have meant anything had it been handed on a silver platter. Overcoming the challenges, that's what makes a person. Rabbi Moshe Benovitz once said to me that in the Ala Nisim that we say on Chanukah and Purim, so we say, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim and the Neflaos and the Chuos and the Yeshuos. Those are all great things to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Ve'al HaMilchamos. And we also thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the milchamos. Why would anyone thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a milchama? Milchama is terrible. War is awful. Why would anyone want war? Why would we thank Hashem for the war? And the answer is we don't ask for war, but in retrospect, we realize how going through those battles helped us become who we became. Now, I once heard a story about a certain bacher. I think I heard this from my Rebbe of Silver Shlita from Keren Biavne, who told a story about a certain bacher who possessed a photographic memory. And he was like a wonder, because like they would say, you would start saying that you would read a line of Gemara, and then he would tell you the next line. It could be anywhere in Shas. He knew the whole thing, bal peh. He was like one of these, it was like a circus trick. It was like, he was great to bring around at parties. Here, try this, And they brought him to the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav started talking to him and learning. And they asked the Brisker Rav afterwards, "Nu, what did you think?" And he said, "It's really unbelievable." He said, "I've met Amaratzin before, but I've never met someone who's Amaratzin in all of Shas. That's a new Madrega." Meaning a person who's, it's not a sweet story that you can, you have to know your audience before you tell that story, I guess. Okay. But among Yeshiva Bakrim, who understand what a brisker is. So the idea is that, if that's the extent of his learning, the extent of his learning is not Amel V'Yegia. The extent of his learning is to get surface knowledge that you can just get by flipping through something once. Well, then he's not a Talmud Chacham. That's not what makes a person great. It's Amel V'Yegia. It's effort. It's toil in Talmud Torah, and that really cuts to who we are as a people. We're Klal Yisrael. We are Bnei Yisrael. Where did even that name Yisrael come from? So we know where it came from. The Chumash tells us Yaakov Avinu fought with the Malach of Esav, and the Malach told him Lo Yaakov Yamar Ot Shemcha Ki Im Yisrael Ki Sarisim Elokim V'Manashim V'Tuchal, that you are Israel. Why? Because you fought this battle against an angel and you were victorious. Vatuchal. I don't know, shouldn't he have been called Vaychal or Vatuchal? Well, wasn't that the kunz? The kunz was that he won. No, the kunz was that he overpowered, that he came out on top. The crowning achievement of the battle was not the fact that Sarisa, that he fought the battle, it's that after all, he didn't choose to have that battle. It was Vatuchal that he defeated the angel. But maybe again, that's the point. The point is that even more important than the victory at the end is the battle that was fought to achieve that victory, the path that he went on to get there. And the definition of the Jew is not always coming out on top, but it's in always valiantly facing the difficult times and growing from those difficult times. And that's what all of Gullus is. When we struggle in our Gullus, in a certain sense, we have the comfort of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a loving Father, he's an all-powerful King. Rabbi Schreiber spoke about yesterday all the different relationships that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was leading us through the struggles and suffering along with us on the path to finding that refuah, like that melech helping his child find that refuah, and that gives a certain context for our struggles. But we know that in the end of the day, when that refuah comes to this galus, when that geula comes to this galus, we're going to be able to look back at all of the struggles and say those struggles is what made Klal Yisrael. Kolamis Abel al Yerushalayim Zocha V'ro B'Simchasa. Someone who feels a sense of Avelus over Yerushalayim, someone who feels a sense that something is missing and that things aren't easy and that this is not where we're meant to be and how we're meant to live our lives, that ultimately is going to lead to a greater level of simcha. So that's one mahalich, that is Shitas Rashi. But then there's a second explanation, which I think is even more of a positive and hopeful message than Rashi, and that is the Sforno. The Sforno writes, Rotza hakel yisbarach, sheyichtavu masa Yisrael, lahodia zechusam, belechta machrav bamidbar be'eretz lo zerua, ba'ofen sheyruuyim likanes la'aretz. That essentially the various travels are recounted to remind us just how difficult it was in the desert. And while we had some incidents of rebellion at the very beginning and at the very end, we generally put up with less than optimal conditions to follow the trail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blazing for us. We generally didn't complain. We generally followed wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to go. We never knew how long we were going to stay in any location. And nevertheless, as unsettling as that might be, to not know what, you know, what tomorrow is going to bring, and to not know where we're even going to be living tomorrow, you know, it could have been a single night, it could have been 18 years, on a moment's notice, we have to uproot our families, hit the road again. That's the way it was in the Midbar. After telling us about how we were sometimes selfish and sometimes ungrateful, the Torah rebuilds our self-esteem a little bit and reminds us that in the end of the day, in the wilderness, we followed the Ribbono Shel Olam. I remember when I was in fourth, maybe it was fifth grade, because I had the same Rebbe 2 years in a row. I remember who the Rebbe was. It was Rabbi Zucker in South Shore. I remember he, Rabbi Zucker? Yeah. So I remember, anyone else? Any other Rabbi Zucker told me? No? Yeah? So I remember, maybe you'll tell me if he did this with you, if you remember. I remember one day he came into our class and he said, "Everybody up." I'm like, okay. So we're like, oh, where are we going? Is it Lag BaOmer? Are we going on a field trip? Like, we had no idea where we were going. And he just walked us into, there used to be outside of Rabbi Hertzberg's office, there was this tiny little, Rabbi Hertzberg's Zichron Lebracha, there was this tiny little room that was like, it was like a waiting room almost for his office. And it was a tiny little room. And there were like, I don't know, 30 of us in the class. And he piled us all into this tiny little room. And he said, "Sit on the floor," so because there were no chairs. So we sat, or there were two chairs or something. So we sat on the floor, and he shut the lights, and then like we sat there for like, I don't know, 3 minutes. It seemed like an hour, and then he said, "Okay, let's go." Then he brought us into the we're like, "What is going on?" Then he brought us into the lunchroom, and it was much more spacious. It was a much bigger room. He said, "Sit wherever you want." So we all got comfortable. We sat down. And the second we sat down, he said, "Let's go." And then he brought us to the library, and the air conditioning wasn't on in the library or something. And he sat us there for what really seemed like an hour. It was probably like 4 minutes. And like, and then he said, and we're like, what is going on with this guy? Like, what's he doing? So he was about to teach us Parshas Maaseh, and he wanted to teach us about the what it was like to just not know where you're going, not know how long it's going to be. Some places are comfortable and you're there for just a short time. Some places are very uncomfortable and you're there for a long time. And he's trying to give us that understanding of what the Jewish people went, you know, a microcosm of that, of what the Jewish people went through in the Midbar, going to different places with different comfort levels, never knowing how long your stay is going to be, what the next place held in store, where you're even going to. And that's the dedication, the Sforno says, that we have toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah wants to highlight, meaning put in very general terms, the lesson is that within our struggles, we not only recognize, you know, how the struggles built us, but we recognize how we were willing to go through those struggles for that relationship. We recognize our own greatness. What may seem to be, you know, the most depressing aspect of our experience really just reveals this inner character that we had all along. And that's also part of our attitude toward this time of the year. You know, in the morning of the 3 weeks and the 9 days in Tisha B'Av, when we struggle through times of galus, we just take a step back and think about, like, you know, we're still here, we're learning Torah Hashem. You know, for us to be learning Torah Hashem, you know, three starim a day in the summertime in America in 2023, that means that there were generations that came before us that went through Gehenim and worse than Gehenim, things that you couldn't possibly imagine. And despite all that, said, we want to be the Lechtech Achrei Bamidbar. We want to be the people that are going to be Be'eretz Lo Zerua. We want to be the people that are going to that are going to remain with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why we're here. You know, our dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Eretz Yisrael ultimately leads us to the Avelus that we experience every year, because that's our expression of, no matter what comes, no matter what happens in history, we're with Hashem. We're with the Ribbono Shel Olam in this. You know, and that's why there are many more Italians in the world than there are Jews, but nobody laments Rome, right? Nobody sheds a tear or cares about the lost glory of ancient Egypt or Babylonia or Persia. We understand that if a if you have a nation that can weep, then that nation will someday laugh. So we find a message of hope and faith in everything that we go through this time of year. Chazal tells us the day that Mashiach, that on the day of Tisha B'Av is the day Mashiach was born. On the day of destruction, redemption begins, and it's symbolic because we're willing to be faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the difficult times. So that's why we deserve Geula. So these psukim that seemingly just list our travels in the Midbar, they're hardly meaningless. You know, gee, these are just two of the many lessons from we learn the importance of suffering through the hard times, the impact that such suffering, while we don't invite it, the impact that it can have on us in defining who we become, but also in defining who we already were and the kind of relationship that we have with the Ribono Shel Olam. So whatever difficulties and struggles we may have in life, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's been kind to us and hasn't shown us too many difficulties, if we don't have amelos in other areas, let it be in Amel Torah, what a bracha that we have, that our hard work and our challenges can come through in Amel HaTorah, that because it's only through amelos that we're going to be built, and it's through our willingness to have that amelos that we're sort of proving to ourselves and showing ourselves what we're really made of. Okay.